Dubai Eye
103.8. ESPN has teamed up with the Aspen Institute for a new campaign that aims to tackle the problem of kids giving up on sports prematurely. Features a 9-year-old boy holding a press conference announcing his retirement from sports. Here's the first part of it.
I'm here to announce my retirement from sports. Baseball, basketball, all of them. I feel like it's time. The pressure that it takes to play at my age is just too much. So I'm done with the endless advice from parents to keep my head up, to keep my head down, to keep my head in the game. I know you think you helped. I'm walking away from the coaches that left me on the bench every time the game was on the line. I'm sure they'll agree I'm leaving at the peak of my career. I'll miss my friends and the fun we had when we were young. I said I'd play this game as long as I was having fun. And now, it's time to call it quits.
Goes on to take questions from the so-called journalist at this press conference, which I think it's fair to say is designed to shine a light on the campaign, of which the hashtag is hashtag don't retire kid. Highlights the pressure we put our children through so they can meet our expectations. According to the Aspen Institute's Project Play initiative, last year only 38% of children aged 6 to 12 played team sports on a regular basis, down from 45% in 2005. So if 62% of children are quitting sports, what are we doing wrong? Going to extend this, as I said, past just sports. We're talking the arts, we're talking education, we're talking technology, we're talking personal life as well. Are pushy parents getting in the way? Is this all for their sake, or should we pause and ask them what they would like to do? A couple of comments are coming through on text message at the moment. Feel free to send yours. 4001. I understand that our very own Richard Dean's been in touch.
Yes, Richard says, if I'm honest, I'm not pushy enough. Let the kids skip piano practice, let them play in the pool, not swim. Too pushy is vile, but too soft can kill them with kindness. This term, I'll be Tiger Dad.
So who have we got for you today to talk about this at length from a sporting point of view? International Director of Cricket at It's Just Cricket, one of the most sought-after academies here in the region. Mr. Sam Charnley is alongside us. Good morning to you, Sam.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Lisa Ribbiger is the principal at Clarion School, also joining us live in the studio. Lisa, lovely to see you.
Hello, Tom, thank you.
Thanks for being with us. And absolute pleasure to have the lovely clinical psychologist and managing director of Lighthouse Arabia, the one and only friend of the show, friend of the station, I think it's fair to say. Saila Afridi joins us live in the studio. Great to have you back.
It's very good to be back.
I think last time we did a studio show together, I mean, you join us on the phone all the time. You're always so good with your time for us. But last time we did it in different environment, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes, it was just slightly different. Yeah, this a little less light.
This is the new studio, the shoebox that we were in last time.
Yes.
So we've got a view this time as well. But so kind of you to be with us. And I just want to start with you, if we can, Saliha, and get your thoughts on this one. Because obviously, as a clinical psychologist and the MD of the Lighthouse Arabia, in terms of the subject that we are addressing here today, give us a sort of starting point, an overview. Is, in your opinion, Dubai, the UAE, this part of the world, full of pushy parents based on what you've seen?
I think no more than any other place would be having such pushy parents. I think Dubai, there is a little bit of a difference with the Dubai parents because a lot of them, at least the ones that come through the clinic, are quite high achieving themselves. And so they want their children to be better than them in some way. And so we see a lot of kids come through mainly due to academic pressure and academic stress. Mm. So I don't necessarily see the pushy parent on the field come through. But I do see a lot of anxious children, and I do see a lot of depressed children. I see children that are using the words like the kid on that ad, like pressure and stress, and it's no longer fun, and I don't have a childhood. So I think the high achieving parents and actually, you know, we do have an unusual amount of high-achieving parents, I would say, in the Dubai
Let's get Lisa's thought on this as well. I mean, from an educational standpoint, in terms of comparisons, and I suppose it's impossible not to compare and contrast to other parts of the world. We understand that burnout at all ages and pushy parents is an issue the world over. Is it more so here, do you think?
I don't have any ability to say whether it's more here. I spent the last 27 years in New York City, more specifically in Manhattan, and I can't say that I feel like there's a vast difference in terms of parents from that area, from Manhattan to Dubai. I think probably what's different is overall, societally, we've evolved and changed, and sort of with that comes different challenges. So I think when more people's basic needs are met, we start to put some more mental capacity into other aspects of our lives, and sometimes that actually creates additional problems that didn't exist 40, 50 years ago.
Mm. Sam, from a sports perspective, and obviously this is the sort of background that ESPN looked at it along with the Aspen Institute. You've been training out here for many years now. You've seen a lot of kids of all ages come through the programs that you've put together. More so here in terms of pushy parents than maybe back in the UK from where you hail?
Not so much. Maybe originally when there was less game time available, we saw a little bit more pushy parents wanting their children to perform at every game because there wasn't as much game time available and chances to perform. Now that's become a little bit more wider available. The stress and the pressure to perform on every single occasion hasn't been as bad. But over the last 10 years, I don't think I've seen any more than 3 or 4 children drop out of the sport due to pushy parents. I'm not saying they're not there, but I haven't seen it as much as maybe spoken about.
Mm. I mean, we just had Mark on the phone. I don't know if you're listening in the green room. He was talking about his 4 kids, and obviously one of those, Alfie, has gone on to sort of choose the sport that worked for him as well. As part of your role as a cricket coach, when you're taking kids in their formative years, you know, not just physically, but also mentally as well, is part of your role to sort of limit the expectations of parents to a certain degree?
Yeah, that's always a difficult conversation. We've had parents come to us and say, you know, at 13 years of age, this boy, is he going to become a professional cricketer? It's very difficult to say. There's professional cricketers that turn professional at 25, 30, 35. So it's very difficult to say. To give that expectation and the reality check is sometimes a little bit of a difficult conversation. It's certainly part of our job. But our main sort of role is to make the game fun for the kids. Mm. And once they're having fun, then I think the pushiness side of it, it dies off anyway because the kids want to be there, they want to have fun, they want to enjoy themselves.
Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me, as a parent of 3 in the school systems here in the UK at the moment, that parents have more of a role, not so much more of a role, that's the wrong word to use, but certainly seem to be, they seem to assume they have more of a role in the education of their children than maybe when I was at school, where my parents had nothing to do with the teachers, apart from one teacher-parent night a year, I think it was at the time. Now it seems to be that parents are constantly at the doorsteps of teachers and head teachers and principals. Is that the case? And therefore, is that healthy?
So I can speak in terms of my experience in progressive American schools, and Clarion is an American progressive school here in Dubai. We actually really believe in collaborating with parents. I think fundamentally it comes out of the belief of American progressive education comes out of democracy and the idea that we're taking these 3 constituencies, the grown-ups in the school, the parents and the children, and they're all working together as an entity and as a community. And so I don't think it's a problem that parents are involved. I think sometimes they're seeking to know how they can be involved. And perhaps in other school systems that haven't had as much tradition in how to do that, there's more struggle in those schools. And so it tends to be that schools sort of put their arm up and say that parents can't cross through the door. Personally, I think that if you learn how to work with parents well, they're great partners. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought, even as a teacher, that my role was only with a child for these 10 months, mm-hmm. right? How effective I was as a teacher had everything to do with how effective I was with my communication to parents so that my work continued on after the child was no longer in my class. So I think it's more about how to help school leaders and teachers learn how to take the energy that parents have and not to see it as an adversarial role.
It's interesting, and certainly I want to throw this one to you. I mean, we often hear tales of success from leaders in sports, entertainment, industry, the corporate world. And if you ask them about their influence, they often refer to a teacher that pushed them in the right direction. But they also talk about the support of their parents, invariably on the major part of that. So is there if being a supportive or, dare we say, a pushy parent equals success, is there anything wrong with being a pushy parent? Are we sort of defining it in a negative connotation at the moment?
Well, I think the word pushy is just not the right word. And I don't think pushy parents leads to successful people. Mm. I think encouraging parents, I think parents who support rather than push, there's a big difference, even if you just imagine what that looks like. Someone who's actually pushing a child versus someone who stands next to the child and says, how can I be here for you so you can do the best that you can do, is a very different way of looking at parenting. I think parents nowadays, well, actually, I think this problem has been around for as long as there has been children and parents.
Yeah.
So it just evolved in the way it appears. So whether it's sports or whether it's education or whether it's how you look or how much you weigh or, you know, all of these things are just different versions of the same issue, which is when parents overly identify with their child and they live vicariously through their child. And so going back to what Richard said, there is a difference between or what the SMS said. I think we need to be, you know, the surrogate frontal lobe for our children, which they will want to quit when things get hard because that's just what people do, because pain doesn't feel good and pleasure feels good. And I'd rather sit and do nothing all day and eat, you know, potato chips watching TV. But
hallelujah.
And so our job as parents is to make sure that we push them in that time so they can be more resilient. And so they are not just looking for the easy way out. But there's a very big difference between being pushy and, you know, encouraging, or being a tiger mom and helicoptering parent versus being a supportive parent. So I think it really is a very, very different things that we're talking about. I think pushiness can lead to a lot of shame. It can lead to a lot of stress, and it can lead to a lot of pressure, which is why kids just give up or they develop some sort of mental health issue like depression or anxiety.
Lots of other people have been having their say as well. We'll get to the text with Zena in a few moments' time. Sasha Crabb, though, is the principal of Victory Heights Primary School. Sasha's been listening into the conversation and weighs in with this thought.
We definitely have a philosophy of no lids on kids, you know, reach for the stars type thing, and making sure that the children reach their potential. I think you've got to have a balance. You know, do all schools in Dubai offer amazing sporting opportunities, and obviously the academic expectations are incredibly high there, but children do need some downtime as well. And I think, you know, balancing up what they do outside of school, tutoring or full-on sports activities every night can be quite exhausting for them. Sometimes they do need downtime. You know, getting parents on board, ensuring that their well-being is a priority and that they're still playing out and throwing sticks and being kids is also important.
Zina Zellemeyer's got your text messages.
Yes, Darren is a father of three. He says, I believe there are a few angles to consider. There's parental pressure and societal pressure. These combined will inevitably cause burnout in children and families. We have three kids at junior level. We feel the overall school and its ecosystem can be consuming, especially homework and the obligation to commit to after-school activities. We have a three-year-old who loves stimulation, so the greatest challenge is achieving balance. We'd like the schools to look towards the Scandinavian system as well, which is letting the kids be kids.
I'd like to bring Lisa into the conversation here with just a point that was made by Sasha there, and I wonder whether this sort of contributes to the conversation we're having at the moment. As parents, we hand over our children to schools in the morning and we pick them up in the afternoon. One thing we do notice here is the extracurricular activities and camps that go on during school term, but also during the holiday term as well. Is that sort of putting another element of pressure on? Whereas in other parts of the world, you might have that incorporated into the school curriculum to a certain degree.
I would say that one thing we should be thinking about is how much are people, parents or not parents, making determinations about the life they want to live.
Yeah.
And versus how much influence do they feel like they're taking on by external forces? I often feel like parents don't trust themselves, and they're very influenced. They can be very influenced by others. I also think that the contributing factor of people anticipating that because the world is a different world than it was 30 years ago, therefore how I parent has to be so radically different, and so they lose track of the most fundamental and foundational things that were valuable across time in terms of how we have all been taught, right? Mm-hmm. How human beings have influenced each other. I think about things I learned from my parents or my grandparents. It's often because they were interested in something.
Yeah.
I was provided space to be part of that. So my grandfather was a big hiker, and so he would just bring me out with him, and we would walk trails and, pick up trash. And that influenced me to be the kind of person who lives my life that way. I think sometimes people need to remove the clutter from their mind, which is often other voices. Perhaps sometimes social media is a vehicle for that. There's too much information coming in, and they could be better off to think about their own lives, their own experiences, their own childhood, and who and what influenced them productively, and use those as mentors to parent.
It's an interesting point, and Sam, it's one we see in the sort of sporting realm all the time, isn't it? I mean, how often do we watch sports stars who followed in their father's or their mother's footsteps to a certain degree and look to emulate what they've done at the highest level? Not all of them are going to succeed in that way as well. But I suppose it goes back to Lisa's point of influence. If you're growing up in a household when your father is an English cricketer, then the likelihood of you following in their footsteps or having the wherewithal to follow in their footsteps might be higher than others in your class.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if your dad's playing cricket or your mum's playing cricket, you're watching it, you're there, you're at the cricket ground, naturally you're going to pick up a cricket bat, naturally you're going to pick up a cricket ball and start bowling with it. So you get into those types of sports. If parents are watching it on the TV, if they're watching the Premier League, you know, at some stage a child is more likely to say, oh, I'll give football a go or I'll give cricket a go, as opposed to if they don't get exposed to it, don't see it, then I think there's a lot of influence that comes from that parent sort of just watching sport, being around sport, being involved in sporting teams and the social aspect of that as well.
But choice has got to play its role, I'm assuming, rather than just living vicariously through your child and looking to relive your dreams or your failed dreams through them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think to introduce a sport to a child is the best thing you can do. You can't keep a child in sport. It's impossible because a kid that doesn't want to be at cricket, no matter whether he's there physically, he's not there, or she's not there. So you can't force a child to stay in love with something or find a love for something. But I think what you can do is introduce a child to as many sports as possible, and then they have the choice to, well, I like swimming, I'm going to carry on swimming. I like it in a fun and social environment as opposed to I don't want to swim as fast as possible. So we see that. We've got kids that will openly say that, you know, that they want to enjoy cricket and they want to be around their friends and their family and play in the sport, but don't want to be an international cricketer because they want to be a lawyer or they want to be a doctor. And we accept that. That's fine. I think the role for the coach is really important to first of all, allow the child to experience it, enjoy it, and then make a choice of whether they want to continue in it.
So Saliha, the question, I suppose the loaded question here is, when do you give a child a choice?
I think, you know, it's perfectly said here, where I think you need to introduce lots of things to, as Sam said, introduce lots of things to your children, but you cannot force them into doing it. However, I do believe...
But you've got to force them to do their math homework, haven't you?
Exactly. So going into the next thing that I would want to say is that there are going to be things that I will be forcing my children to do because they don't want to do them, such as their homework or even following through in a season. If they've signed up for something, I want you to see this thing through because you've made a commitment to the team, you've made a commitment to this coach, And this is just something you do. You see things through, and then at the end of that, you decide. So I have I'm sort of very anchored in my values when I'm making those decisions. So, for example, I was telling you that I sent my kids to summer camp this summer for the first time. They went alone off into the mountains, and I was super nervous. I was very anxious. Even as I'm driving them up there, I'm thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't take them. And, you know, let's turn around. This is not worth it. They're crying. They hate me. And I'm feeling really anxious as a parent. So I think as parents, we need to be very, very sort of self-aware, because you cannot let your emotions dictate your parenting. You cannot let your self, you know, I don't know, whatever your narcissism, I would say, dictate your parenting. And so at that point, I had to say, what is good for my kids? What are the values that I'm trying to instill, which was independence? It was, you know, self-sufficiency. This is what we're going to do. And no, life is going to be difficult, and they're going to push through it. And so I had to do all of this sort of self-talk, you know, and as I'm going up there. And I think what was said earlier, which is the problem, I think, with parenting today, is that we're swinging from left to right. Either we're really, really pushy and really, really present and helicoptering, or we're just saying, no, honey, it's okay. You don't have to like everything you do. And no, you don't have to do anything. And it's fine. And so it's very permissive, or it's very authoritarian. And like the best way to parent, we all know for a long time now, is high support and high challenge. And we need to be challenging our kids, and we need to be anchored in values. And I think we're not doing that. We're super anxious as parents. And so we're letting that anxiety actually dictate what we do with our children.
Do we need to redefine the whole the phrase in itself at the moment? Or should we look at it in a negative connotation? Should we be looking at the way that we define pushiness when it comes to parents and just trying to get the best for their children? We're going to get some more thoughts now from listeners who've been in touch with the show. Norsheen's been in touch with these thoughts.
I don't think that parents are over pushy with the children, but considering the time that we live in, it's important that parents ensure that the kids have the right exposure to all the activities. And this at times could lead to some parents being pushy, but at most times, I think it's just that they're trying to get the best for their children.
So those are some of the thoughts. We've got text messages coming in as well. Keep them coming through to us. Rahul has been in touch. I don't think kids these days are working hard enough. They're being taught that it's okay to be mediocre, that it's okay not to finish something they've started. And with the emergence of highly advanced technology, information is easily available. They don't even have to visit a library to put a book report together. There is less discipline and more spoon feeding. So we're going to get thoughts of the team on that. Lisa, let's go to you first on that one, because mention of library, mention of spoon feeding, education springs to mind. I mean, is that a concern?
It is a concern. And I think the way in which, for me, it's connected to the conversation about pushy parents has to do about how much freedom we're allowing children to live their lives and allow natural consequences of failure to happen. You know, right now, this time of year, assignments have gone out about teachers, and I'm getting emails from parents wanting their child to be placed in a classroom with another friend, right? And maybe they're only 4 or 5 years old. And what I find fascinating about it is I think it comes from a good place, right? Ultimately, all of this comes from a good place, that parents have only the best intentions. But I think what sometimes adults are missing is that it's very vital to be able to say to a child that you're going to be okay. You're going to be great. Your little friend from last year might not be in your classroom, but I have every confidence in the world that you're going to have a great year. And you lean in with confidence to someone instead of assuming the worst, right? And trying to then on the back end orchestrate perfection. Orchestrate, like, if I had this teacher and this child and this classroom, I just know everything would be perfect. Fundamentally, I disagree. And I think when people get too involved, whether it's in trying to orchestrate their child's friendships and their lives and their after-school lives with who all those people and players are, they miss the big picture, right? That really what needs to happen is the children have to just have the experience that they're supposed to have, right? That sort of, I believe in sort of giving it up. Whoever your classmates are, your classmates, you have the experience you have, and inside of that, there are going to be hiccups and challenges. And what do we do to sort of coach people through those challenges? Mm. And that's true whether you're an adult and have challenges or whether you're a child. And that really what's happening is we're modeling the behavior we want them to do independently of us as they progressively get older.
Mm. It's interesting, Saliha, this idea. We started off talking about parents, the role of parents, and this whole idea of pushiness, etc. And you've touched on, you know, the picture perfect that we see out there at the moment, be on Instagram. I mean, I've spent, you know, 4 or 5 weeks away on holiday with my daughter, my youngest daughter, pretty much glued to a screen, watching YouTube videos of perfect families, you know, out on perfect shopping trips and doing perfectly fun things around the world. And, you know, these people are making millions, and this is what a lot of youngsters are watching at the moment. And it's sending a sort of different message than children maybe of different generations have grown up with. So, dare I say it, can we blame social media? Can we blame digital technology?
Oh, that's a really tough question. I don't like the word blame. I think that we all are in control of what we put into our heads and what we allow our children to see. I think what social media is very dangerous when we are looking at social media. They're actually curating a reality for us. And so the more I look at this thing, the more of this thing I'm going to get.
Yeah.
And so more accounts that have similar things and more. So all of a sudden, my world just starts to look like that. And there's no other reality other than the reality that I see on social media, because people spend a lot of time on social media. So there's a lot of things like social media envy, and there's social media, I think, body dysmorphia at this point. I mean, there's so many things that are coming out that are a result of social media, because it's actually warping people's reality and their own expectations of themselves, of their lives. And they actually think that they can actually be a YouTube star, and like they don't have to work hard and they don't need discipline and they just have to do sensational things. So
is that a new pushiness to a certain degree? Because that's not so much coming from parents. Well, it might be coming from people that are creating this content, but it is pushing children in many ways.
Push can come from any, I think that's pressure that we feel when we are looking at social media, that we need to have a life like this. And so societal pressures, parental pressures, academic pressures, I mean, pressures could come from anywhere. I think our job as a parent, though, is to manage that for our children who only have been on Earth for, you know, 4, 5, 7 years, 15 years. They don't know their way around this world. And so our job as parents is to make sure that we help them manage that. But don't overmanage and don't helicopter at the same time. But I have very, very strict rules of social media and technology and all of that in my house. So I'm probably not the best person to ask.
So one other element I want to put to this, because one thing that one assumes when it comes to, again, I'm using that phrase that I think we've all agreed we want to try and get away from, pushy parents being a sort of negative connotation. But it seems to suggest that being a pushy parent, knowing what is best for your child, equals success for that child. I know best. Don't ask questions. Don't answer back. Just go with my plan and you'll be the next Serena Williams, or you will be the next Bill Gates or whatever.
I completely disagree with this, because I, as a parent, yes, there are some things I know for sure. Like, you got to brush your teeth. Like, it's just, there's not, these things are not, you know, you cannot compromise this. But a lot of parents are basing what I know on social media and on pseudo experts that they find, which are like parenting experts or, you know, books that they're reading, but they're actually very, they're not attuned to their child. I have 4 children, and each one of those child requires a different kind of parent and a different kind of push or support or management or guidance. So I cannot even assume that I have to be the same parent for all 4. So I think a lot of parents are parenting quite cerebrally, and they've lost connection with their child, as well as their values, as well as their inner, you know, guiding system, which we have been around, which we have had for a very, very long time. And I think that's where the problem is, because parents think they know best, but that's not usually the best way to understand your child. It's to feel your child.
Sam, anything wrong with failure?
No, certainly not. No, you've got to fail to move forward. You know, every every cricketer, and you need to understand what failure feels like. Every cricketer, every sportsman has failed at some stage in their career, and if they haven't, they will do in the next however long. So they've got to fail at some stage, and they need to understand how to accept that, and then how to progress and get better at failing and improve it. You only really improve from the failures and learn from them. But what you don't want to be doing is failing all the time. So you need to avoid that. So that's where the coach comes into play, to make sure that they're not failing at every opportunity, which means that the skill level or the level of competition needs to be right for them.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, we've been talking a lot about cricket, and it is obviously your life, and you played it to a very high level as well. You know, we're in the middle of an Ashes series at the moment, where a lot of people are talking about people getting hit on the head and falling down. But, you know, that I suppose that's a great sort of example of, you know, all cricketers get hit at some point. It's the way you come back from that which sort of tests your mettle and whether it is for you as a game.
Yeah, that's probably one of the hardest parts of my job is when a child steps from an under-9s age group to an under-11s age group and moves to hardball cricket. Now, you'll see two reactions to getting hit by a cricket ball, because inevitably, at some stage, a child will get hit with a cricket ball, either softly, hardly, a bit too hard. If you push them up too quickly, that's the main area of concern for parents, is he's got to be playing hardball, he's got to be doing this, he's got to be doing that. Well, actually, no, he needs to get confidence from hitting softballs, he needs to learn techniques from hitting softballs, and then we'll push him up where we think he's ready to go and play hardball cricket, because if he gets hit too young, too hard, he will not come back. He will finish the sport. So that's the one area of pushing us that we really do see.
So that's interesting. So if a parent comes to you and say, oh, my little Johnny should be playing under 12s at the moment, but he's only 9 years old, but he's good enough to play under 12. You're the expert. You know, you've seen it before. That's what you're being paid to do.
Yeah, and essentially it is what we're being paid to do. And what I have to stress to every parent that I've ever coached a child is that I want him to get as good as quickly as possible. There's no reason for me to hold a child back in any way, shape or form, apart from his safety. Mm. And, you know, I'll keep players back. If they are technically good enough, then it might just be a confidence issue, and there's a different way around it rather than just throwing them in at the deep end. There's things that you can push them and you challenge them with new and different experiences, but there's certain things that when it comes to safety and things like that, you just have to be a little bit more aware of it. And it's not an easy conversation with a parent, but most that I've dealt with have received it really well when you explain it.
I mean, the one thing that I would suggest that failure can have a very sort of negative impact, maybe not learning from your failures, is if you get a big fat F on your exam paper. And we've just seen A-level exam results come out. Maybe not for the individual, but there is certainly students feel that they've let their parents down if they fail an exam. Can we see any positives in failing an exam?
First of all, I would ask why a student feels the sense of obligation that score is an indication, is some kind of a reflection of the parent, right? Right there, I think there's some kind that's kind of wrong. Like,
okay,
this is my test, right? This is an indication of how well I did on this particular day that I took something. Does the test in its totality define me and my future life success? I, as an educator, would argue no. Right, and I've certainly seen people who have not passed national boards for medicine take a step back and become very successful doctors. Right, so just because you don't do well on something one day doesn't define the totality of your life. And I think failure is hugely important. I think that part of the challenge today in these discussions about parenting is, are we allowing children the natural consequence and experiences of having small failures and small disappointments? I've often had parents apologize to me when their children do something that's quote unquote bad. And I always respond by saying, I would be so disappointed if your child didn't do things that were inappropriate, right? Because that is exactly what life is like, what is life is supposed to be like. And we're pushing the envelope and we're testing things out and we're constantly negotiating between that and other kind of social constructs. So I'm okay with the fact that someone says something that's hurtful to each other. The issue is, how do we respond inside of that moment and help them to understand how their choice of saying something, doing something, made someone else feel?
Selena.
So I think parents can be quite literal when we are talking, you know, when we say it's okay to fail, no, it's not okay to fail if you didn't try. You're like, you need to make sure that you show up with the best self that you have that day. Did you study? Did you give it everything you have? And this is what, when my kids come to me and they have a grade that I would not be very happy with, or they would not be very happy with, is, did you study? Did you do your best? Could you have done something differently? Did you learn what you did wrong? That's the conversation I'm having. I don't care if it's an A, if you didn't study at all, because that's not really teaching you about life. So no, it's not okay to fail. It is only okay to fail if you gave it everything you had. And it's good to lose if you know that you inside did your very best. So I think it's just, so we are not being very literal here, I wanted to make sure that we clarified that.
So if and again, you know, we said at the beginning of the show, and I didn't expect anybody to call in and go, I'm a pushy parent, get me on the panel, etc. Because, again, it seems to have that negative connotation. But if people feel that they are being too pushy, I mean, are there certain signs that people can keep an eye out for if you think that you have crossed that border, if you crossed that line?
I think if I hear someone, I would want you to maybe sit back and question some things if you keep saying, well, I know what is best for my children. If you say that a little bit too much, then that's giving me a little bit of a signal that maybe you're not talking to your kid very much, or you're not talking, or you're not very attuned to that child, because this is like a thing that happens between the two of us. Parenting doesn't just sit inside of the parent. It has to happen in the space between the child and the parent. And so if you think you know everything and you think you know best, yeah, probably would step back and look at things.
Sam, if you're on the touchline, and obviously all the sort of, you know, the activities at various games, football, rugby, cricket, will be kicking off as families come back for the new school term, the new academic term, etc. If you're on the sideline and one of your child's teammates' parents are ranting on the sideline at the same time, regardless of the sport or whatever, is there ever a place that you as a parent can sort of step in and get involved and ask that person to calm down? Or again, is that down to the coaching staff and the organisers of that event?
No, I think I've seen both. I've seen parents that have seen other parents shouting and screaming and asked the other parent to be quiet and sort of tune out of the game. We all know that the worst time to talk to a child is when they're competing or just after they've failed. That is just, you just can't do it. It doesn't work, because it's the least receptive time for the child to understand what's happened. Yes, we have had the conversation before, and we'll continue to have that conversation if we think it's going to the rounds, especially if it's directed to another child, because it has happened. But if it's directed to their own children, there's a boundary that we sort of, we make, and there's a line, and we try and explain to the fact that that's probably not the best way that your son or daughter is going to learn. Give him 5, 10, 25 minutes, allow him to calm down, and let him discuss it with us, because we've probably got a better understanding of what happened as opposed to a parent that maybe doesn't or hasn't played at the highest level or doesn't understand coaching per se.
Yeah. Lisa, as we come to the end of our conversation, final thoughts from you. What, 12 days more? We're just under 2 weeks, 12 days to the start of the new academic year. What's your message to pushy parents going into the new academic year?
Well, I think my message in general, it kind of taps into this idea of even just the language we use, like the language of failure. It brings up a lot of, like, what does that really mean? I think the reality is, I believe, like, life is hard. And you have to have had disappointment. You have to have had hiccups. And whether you deem that as failure or disappointment or sadness, if you don't have those real life experiences from the time that you're very young, when you're older and you have some kind of setback, you won't have the skills inside of you to know how to persevere. And so that's why I think it's important to not micromanage and over-program the decisions around, you know, can I make my child's life just set up so that they can have success? And rather step back, allow them to have the journey that they have, and be there to be a supporter, be enthusiastic, get behind what their passions and excitements are.
I think we're still sort of debating the best use of the terminology around this one. But final thoughts from you, Salihah, on this one. Is it a case of step back? Is it a case of leaning? Is it a case of pushing full force?
I think, like I said, high expectations and high support.
Yeah.
High challenge, high support. This is what I believe in. So I think it is a nuanced thing that you need to be doing with your children. And you can't always just be challenging them and not supporting them. And you can't always just be supporting them and not challenging them. So it needs to be both.
Great thoughts from all of the panel. Sliha, thank you so much indeed to you. If people want to get in touch with Lighthouse Arabia, best way to do so, website?
Through our website, yeah? Yes.
Lighthouse Arabia, search for that one. Thank you so much indeed for your thoughts.
My pleasure.
Lisa, lovely to have you in studio. Thank you so much indeed for being here with us. All the best.
Thank you very much.
For the brand new term, for the brand new year as well. If people are interested to find out more about Clarion, website?
Yes, at clarionschool.com.
Get yourself on there to find out more. Lisa's the principal down there. And Sam, obviously you've been running academy courses throughout the summer. You'll have more towards the end of the year. It's chock-a-block at It's Just Cricket. Is that the best way for people to get in touch?
Yeah, website itsjustcricket.com. All the details of the programmes and school venues.
Best of luck. Hope you get away for a couple of weeks
Thank
before
you.
The end of the year. Enjoy.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.